Listening Library presents Addison Cook and the Treasure of the Incas by Jonathan W. Stokes. Read for you by Ralph Lister. Part 1. The Incan Key. Chapter 1. Fear of Heights. Addison Cook sat cross-legged in the school library, engrossed in an Incan history book. Under the spell of a decent read, Addison could forget meals, forget sleep, and even forget to go to class. He could forget to go to school, or once at school, forget to go home. This was, in fact, the current situation. The school bell had rung ages ago, and Addison had missed it entirely. Addison's little sister, Molly, sprinted into the library. She was still wearing soccer cleats and shin guards from intramural practice.
"Addison!" she hissed.
Addison perked up, looked around for the source of the whisper, and spotted his sister.
"Molly, what are you doing down there?"
"Me?
What are you doing on top of the bookshelf?"
Addison was, at present, perched on top of a 6-foot bookshelf.
"Overcoming my fear of heights and reading up on Incan history. It's called multitasking."
Addison, like any 7th grader at Public School 141, sported a tidy uniform, a sharp blazer, power tie, and khaki pants. Never wanting to blend in, he topped off his uniform with a smart ivy cap perched on his head at a rakish angle. Molly, a 6th grader, had more than a decade of solid experience with Addison's odd behaviour. She was more or less used to it.
"I ran to your classroom to find you, but Miss Johnson said you weren't in class all afternoon."
"I got a nurse's pass."
"But you're not sick."
"Naturally.
I got the nurse's pass from Eddie Chang," Addison explained. "He was sick last week. I traded him his nurse's pass for an owl pellet."
"What's an owl pellet?"
"You ask too many questions. You should consider a career in tabloid reporting or criminal investigation."
"Addison, skipping all these classes could catch up to you."
"I've gotten by so far. Besides, I'm only skipping class to further my education."
Addison Cook possessed infinite confidence in all things Addison Cook. Molly Cook, however, did not share this same feeling.
"Well, hurry up," she said,
whispering as loudly as the library allowed.
"We have 2 strikes with Aunt Delia already. If we miss the bus again, she'll kill us."
Even Addison saw the truth in this. He sighed, gathered his library books into his messenger bag, and began climbing down the tall bookshelf.
"No need to panic, Molly."
"I'm not panicking.
Sooner or later, you are going to learn that I have everything under control."
Addison stepped on a loose shelf. It overturned, flipping all the books and Addison onto the ground. He landed hard on his back.
"I'm all right."
Molly looked down at him, knuckles on her hips.
"And you're supposed to be a good influence on me."
Addison hurriedly reshelved the books before sprinting after Molly. Addison and Molly burst out of the front doors of PS 141, Theodore Roosevelt Middle School, on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. They watched the last school bus disappear, turning right on 72nd Street towards Central Park.
"Come on, Molly. We'll catch them at Columbus Avenue."
"We're supposed to outrun a school bus. I could use the exercise. I skipped PE today. Besides, you already have your running shoes on." "These are soccer cleats."
But Addison had already taken off running. Molly chased after him, her cleats clacking like maracas on the pavement. They dashed past the hot dog vendor with his rolling cart, past the cook fire smells of the pretzel vendor. They sprinted past Mr. Karabidian's ice cream cart.
"Missed the bus again, Addison," called Mr. Karabidian.
"Time waits for no man," replied Addison,
as he flew by. And neither does the bus.
Addison put on a fresh burst of speed, now struggling to keep pace with Molly.
The shortcut,
she called, ducking down a service alley. They bolted along loading docks and leapt over shipping flats, Addison desperate not to lose any of his Incan library books. Turbaned men reclining on blankets played chess in the shade of the alleyway. Women with machetes shaved ice behind the Thai restaurant. Addison and Molly swept past them with the speed of two scalded squirrels. They emerged from the alley at full tilt, upsetting a flock of warbling pigeons on Central Park West.
There it is,
Addison called, pointing. Molly watched in dismay as their school bus chugged uptown, passing the 79th Street transverse. It trundled into the distance, disappearing in the afternoon traffic.
Great!
Molly squatted down to retie her cleats.
Never fear, young relative. We will catch a taxi. We're not allowed to take taxis. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I cannot afford a taxi. We've got to hurry. Aunt Delia will be home any minute.
Addison surveyed the bustling Manhattan street traffic.
The important thing is to remain level-headed and to make use of one's environment. That's two things, and you sound just like Uncle Nigel.
Thank you.
Addison beamed.
You know, the taxi is not the fastest animal in the concrete jungle. That honor belongs to the bike messenger.
Addison knew there were few creatures in any jungle more quick, daring, and potentially lethal than a New York City bike messenger.
I will just flag one down.
For Addison, having an idea was the same thing as acting on it. He jumped in front of the speeding path of a passing bike messenger. The cyclist spotted Addison flapping his arms and swerved hard at the last moment, brakes squealing.
Watch it, kid!
Shouted the bike messenger, skidding to a stop.
Sir, I apologize, but I require your services. You could have gotten me killed. A small price to pay for what is at stake,
Addison calmly replied.
You need a delivery? In a word, yes. Got any money?
I do.
I'm listening, said the bike messenger.
I need you to take me and my sister home.
I deliver packages, not kids.
What's the difference?
The bike messenger considered this question, probably for the first time in his life.
Size, mostly.
If you take us home, I can pay you when we get there, suggested Addison.
If you grow wings, I won't need to take you,
the bike messenger replied.
Fair enough.
Addison slipped off his school dress shoe and peeled 5 crumpled $1 bills from under his insole.
I keep emergency funds for just such scenarios. How far uptown will $5 get me?
73rd Street, said the bike messenger.
We're on 73rd Street,
Addison observed.
All right, 76.
Make it 86th Street, and you've got yourself a deal.
79th and not 1 inch farther.
I'll take it.
Addison climbed on the bicycle seat, which was pretty high off the ground for him. Molly balanced her cleats on the rear wheel axle, her hands on Addison's shoulders. The bike messenger rode seatless, huffing and puffing to get the cycle moving. Soon they careened through the Manhattan streets at breakneck speed. Pedestrians yelped and leapt out of their speeding path. Molly clung to Addison, who clung to the bike messenger. Addison's tie flapped behind him. Molly squinted her eyes in the headwind. They wove through traffic, slicing within inches of passing cars.
I could get used to this, said Addison.
We're there,
said the bike messenger, squeaking to a stop. Molly dismounted, looking grateful to be alive. Addison straightened his windblown hair and thanked the bike messenger.
Truth is, I was going this direction anyway, said the messenger. But I figured I might as well get paid for it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?